From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, always a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And we do repeat the program every, those same days at 10 p.m. And don't forget, we're coming to you on our YouTube channel. You can watch the program on YouTube, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It doesn't cost you anything. It just allows us to get more viewers, and you're notified when there's a live program coming on if you choose to have that notification sent to you. It's optional. You don't have to be bothered that way if you don't want to. But please subscribe. Go to youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. And you know, if you have one of these smart TVs, you can watch it on your TV in your the comfort of your home. Just watch the program that way, because we do archive them as well on our YouTube channel. Also coming to you live video today on our Facebook page, facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia, as well as all of our other platforms. You know, if you have friends who say, gee, I wish I had Catholic radio in my area, they can. They can go to our website and stream the audio. They can download our free mobile app and stream the audio and video that way if they have the Amazon Echo or Google Home Assistant devices. Just say play Domestic Church Media. The thing about the Amazon Echo, because I received an email about this over the weekend, if you have the Amazon Echo, you first have to go into your Amazon Echo app and search for Domestic Church Media and activate the skill, as they call it. Once you do that, then you tell Amazon Echo to just, Alexa, play Domestic Church Media, and we'll come across loud and clear. So friends who don't even have Catholic radio in their area or parts of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, where they don't get us because of our radio signal not reaching their area, they can listen anyway and always that we have available to them. So let them know that. It is Wednesday, my friends, and today our Holy Father, although he was at his general audience this morning, he did not actually give the teaching. He is still feeling a bit under the weather, so he had his teaching read by one of the other priests there. And then after that, the Holy Father did go to Gemelli Hospital for diagnostic testing. So keep him in prayer, but we'll share with you his teaching today. And, you know, yesterday we were talking a little bit about examination of conscience. So I thought, let's do that. Let's go and do an examination, just kind of go through some of the steps that we can to examine our conscience. So we'll get to that as well. But before we do that, my brothers and sisters, we are going to pray. And we are continuing to pray this parent's deliverance prayer. Because, you know, we are domestic church media. And the church teaches that every home must be a domestic church. And the family is the basic cell of society. It is the primary target of the enemy in regarding division and anger and hatred and trying to split up and break up families in so many different ways. So we're praying this prayer. You know, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, who is an American exorcist, and I highly encourage you to check out their website. It's catholicexorcism.org, catholicexorcism.org. And once a month, they have an online free deliverance prayer session on YouTube. And Cheryl and I attend these monthly, as I think we haven't missed many, but we try to be there all the time that they have them once a month, Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. and very powerful. But Monsignor Rossetti lets us know that spouses, husband and wife, we have divine authority over our own bodies, as well as our spouse and our minor children. So this deliverance prayer that we pray as a spouse and as a parent of a minor children, we have authority over ourselves and our spouse and our minor children. So we can cast out demons from ourselves, our spouse, and our minor children. Our adult children, we call upon the power of Almighty God to do that. That's why we pray this prayer, because we have to bring families together. I don't know about you, my friends, but so many people, ourselves included, we find ourselves in situations in our family where there has been fracturing and estrangement, and it has to stop. We have to stop the enemy from doing this. That's why we pray this prayer. We pray it for that intention and for all other intentions, my friends, that you have in your heart, whatever your special prayer intentions are. I encourage you now to raise them up, gather. You know, as I mentioned, with all of our various listening and watching platforms that we use here at Domestic Church Media, we do go around the world. Our Domestic Church Media mobile app has been downloaded almost 3,000 times around the world, on every continent except Antarctica. So you never know who's tuned in right now to pray with you and for you, and pray for them as well. They may be, we know there are people in countries where Christianity is under attack, severely under attack. So they may be listening, underground. So we pray for them as well. So we raise our hearts and minds now together as one to the throne of Almighty God, and we begin as we begin all good things, my friends, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we pray, Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And now, my friends, we raise up those special intentions that we're praying for, with this particular prayer. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And now, my brothers and sisters, let's pray our prayer to Saint Michael and to our Blessed Mother, as Holy Father asks us to pray these two particular prayers every day with the specific intention to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And, of course, we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our church and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers. O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. And my friends, as I mentioned earlier, the Holy Father did go to the hospital today for just some diagnostic testing. So let's pray three Hail Marys for our Holy Father. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, my friends, as always, I thank you for praying together. And, you know, here we are on the 28th day of February, typically and normally the last day of the month, but because it is leap year, one more day to go. It's tomorrow, February 29th. So those of you who were born on February 29th, today I'm sure celebrating, rather tomorrow, celebrating your birthday, as you do once every 4 years on the exact date. Friday, of course, is First Friday, and we have good news. Bishop O'Connell will be here with his program, the Shepherd's Voice, here on at 3 o'clock. And Bishop, I did communicate with him yesterday, and as you know, he hasn't been here with us since November, because December, First Friday, we had our radiothon. And then January, he was in Rome, and he had his little incident, and then he was recovering last month. But he's coming, so he will be here at 3 o'clock on Friday, and it'll be good to have him with us, and he'll be sharing his wonderful teaching and reflections with us. So join us at 3 for Bishop O'Connell on Friday, First Friday. Of course, Cheryl and I will be here at 4 o'clock with Friday Live for 2 hours, and our guests will be Anthony DiStefano. He has a brand new book on the Easter Bunny, but not the commercial Easter Bunny. He's going to kind of tie it in to the real meaning of Easter. So Anthony will be here. And then also we have our good friend, Father Stephen Imbarato, who we met when we were out at the Our Lady of Solitude Monastery in Arizona back in January. A wonderful priest and a great charism. So he's been with us the past couple of weeks. We'll be with us throughout Lent and then beyond that occasionally. So Father Stephen will be here. So I hope you join Cheryl and me 4 o'clock on Friday. And then, of course, at 6 o'clock, Bill Maher and Jez Ford. And I understand they have a very special guest joining them on their program at 6 o'clock on Friday. So, and you know, we bring you those local programs, this program, of course, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But we also have other local programs that we produce. Bruce DiBacco, as you know, is here on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 2 p.m. for Come to the Throne. And already next Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month, Bruce will be here at 2 o'clock. We also have The Things That Don't Change. This is a program that we produce here at Domestic Church Media. It's hosted by two young men who every week on Saturday at 10 a.m., bring you this program and from their point of view, you know, they're 20, 30 something young men, and Pat and Tom, and they I'm sure you'll enjoy it. If you have young folks, young adults in your house or know, tell them to tune in 10 o'clock Saturday morning. We also repeat the program 10 o'clock on Saturdays at night, and then Sundays at 2. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you can check our website. It gives all the information there. And then Better Together with Emily Italia and Jen Morrow. Emily, of course, has been a family member here, both as a member of Domestic Church Media family and my family. She's married to my nephew. She also writes for the Monitor and does all of our graphic work here at Domestic Church Media. She does our newsletter and everything else you see that graphically Emily does for us. And she and Jen Morrow, who is the managing editor of the Camden Diocese newspaper, the Catholic Star Herald, and the two young ladies, they come here once a month on the second Saturday of each month at 11 a.m. and talk about the things that are happening around the diocese with interviews and things. So we're building up our local programming because, you know, we need to hit and focus on so many of the wonderful stories and individuals within our terrestrial listening area here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So check out our website at domesticchurchmedia.org. And when you click on up on the top of the screen, engage, and then a little drop-down menu appears on local programs. They're all there listed for you. Of course, the Bishop's Program. And we do archive them. You can listen to them on our website and also watch them on our YouTube channel. So, and we're building that up a little bit more now, I think, to try and reach more local stories and individuals and things. And great things happening in your parish and parishes. We want to highlight those things. So we'll be doing that along the way. Let's go to Holy Father. As I said, this morning in Rome, he has been suffering from mild flu-like conditions. And this morning in Rome, as a precautionary measure, he had cleared his schedule Monday. And today, he continued his ongoing catechetical series on vice and virtue, but he actually had the teaching read because he was on his way or right after the audience was going to Gemelli Hospital for diagnostic testing. But in his teaching, again, he began this catechetical teaching a number of weeks ago on vice and virtue. Today, his teaching focused on envy and vainglory, and reflecting on the universal fascination of these very closely associated vices, the Holy Father observed that envy is an evil that has been studied under both a Christian theological lens as well as by philosophers and wise men of every culture. Pope Francis reflected and noted that envy sits at the matrix between hate and love, where one desires evil for the other, but secretly desires to be like him. Interesting. Think about that. Think about envy. One desires evil for the other, but secretly desires to be like him. Envy is a horrible thing. You know, and you think about where does it come from? What's the origin of envy in the emotion of an individual? Do some people suffer from envy more than others? I don't know. You know, but it gets to a point. You know, let's be real and be honest. At times, you know, you might see someone who's been very successful, has a lot of money, lives in a beautiful house, and you think, gee, that'd be nice to be like that person. It's not real envy. It's kind of wishful thinking. Envy is when you really have this gnawing emotion inside that you wish something would happen to that person. You're really so envious of what they've accomplished, what they have, who they are, what they do, that you wish evil upon them. But at the same time, it's interesting. Holy Father said, you want to be like them. You want to be like them. And the Holy Father observed that this vice, envy, is predicated upon a false idea of God. Noting that that it arises when we do not accept that God has his own, quote-unquote, math different from ours. Now, we've all wondered, you know, why certain people get certain things and have certain things, live the way they are, who they, how they look, what they have, what successes they've had. Why does that happen? And sometimes you look at, you know, let's face it, you look at individuals, and I only say this without judging, but you say it because based on what they say and do, a lot of these very, very successful individuals who are vocally and verbally anti-God, you know, atheists, agnostics, and they're very open about that, yet they've been so successful in the world. Well, we shouldn't envy that, of course. We shouldn't envy that, of course, because this is all they have, basically. They have no nothing beyond it, really. You know, everything they desire is of the world. So Holy Father said that this is a false idea of God, because it arises when we don't accept that God has his own math, different rhymes. We don't know why certain people have certain things, have certain successes, look the way they do, possess what they possess, seem to have gotten all the breaks, right? So we have to be careful of that. And Holy Father also said, returning to vainglory, which is tied to the demon of envy, when taken together, they are a characteristic of a person who aspires to be the center of the world, free to exploit everything that everyone, the object of all praise and love. And this is a great temptation, I believe, of Satan. You know, I was praying this today. I do my prayer in the chapel before the program, and I was praying about that. You know, how the Lord has blessed me to be able to be doing what I'm doing here. And I always have to remind myself, because the devil will always try to raise up my importance more than it should be raised in certain areas, in certain ways. It's not about me. Yes, my name may be associated with the apostolate because of what I do and as steward over the apostolate, but it really isn't. My goodness, today's gospel, we're here to serve. We're not here to be served. You know, we are here to serve the people of God, to serve God himself. And we, my friends, will always be tempted, whether it be us here doing what we do because of the public visibility that we have and the opportunities that we have to be present in ways that most people aren't, on the radio, on all these audio platforms, on YouTube, etc. And that vainglory, as Holy Father said, is an inflated and baseless self-esteem. The vainglorious person possesses an unwieldy I. It's all about me, right? He has no empathy, Holy Father said, and takes no notice of the fact that there are other people in the world besides him. See how extreme this can get? Those who display this vice see human relations through a transactional lens and struggle with a mistaken sense of self-aggrandizement. Sadly, there are many people like that. There are many people who see themselves as someone who is, you know, above others, right? Holy Father said his person, his accomplishments, his achievements must be shown to everyone. He's a perpetual beggar for attention. And if at times his qualities are not recognized, he becomes fiercely angry. This is enormous narcissism, right? A narcissist, a severe narcissist, will make him or herself much, 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 much bigger than they really are, and wants this, you know, to his achievements or her achievements to be recognized by everyone, always looking for that attention. And if at times Holy Father said his qualities are not recognized, becomes fiercely angry. I mean, you see so much of the evil one in that. You know, think about from the very beginning, the first sin, the sin of pride, non serviat, I will not serve. You can't tell me to do that. I'm better than that. When Jesus tells us to be humble of heart, and in today's gospel told us the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. And we too, as disciples of Christ, are called to serve. We're all given tasks in this world. We're all given mission, not for ourselves and not about ourselves. This isn't about us. This is about doing, St. Paul said, we're only doing what we were called to do. We're only here doing what the Lord has asked us to do. It's interesting how an apostolate such as this in communications in today's world, today's modern world, you know, where, you know, all the other media outlets, major media outlets that are commercial, you know, they sell advertising, they want to make as much money as possible. That's their goal, you know. I was watching, I forget, it was some kind of documentary over the weekend about television you know, popular TV shows from the past, and there have been many, but they would say how it look if no matter how well written or how well acted a television program is, if nobody's watching it, they're going to take it off the air because it's not making them any money. We here at Domestic Church Media, we're non-commercial. We don't sell advertisements. We don't base our programming on how much money it can make for us. We put that into the hand of God. We count on providence for that. Our responsibility here is to present the teaching of Jesus, the gospel, to allow people to encounter Christ in many different and wide and varied ways, you know, many different programs that come on the air here. But we're not doing it just so we can make a lot of money. We need money, like, you know, we do, to pay our bills, because we have bills just like everybody else. Although we're a non-commercial operation, we still have electric bills and heating bills and insurance bills and all kinds of things that we have to pay for. You're watching this maybe on YouTube or listening on Amazon Echo. We have to pay for those services to get it out there. We have to keep 4 transmitters operating 24/7. You know how much electricity that uses and what our power bills are? We have to pay for that. That's the only way. And that's why we ask you for your money. We will be doing it again in the spring for our spring radiothon. That's the only way we can operate. But it's not about us. It's about us serving the Lord. So Holy Father closed the reflection today by noting that the antidote to overcoming the internal weaknesses brought on by envy and vainglory is accepting the grace of God. And he taught that ours, I will therefore, he said, gladly boast of my, quoting from Scripture, I will therefore gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ dwells in me. That's from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And that's how we all are called to live our lives. I will therefore gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And my brothers and sisters, again, that's our responsibility, our what we're called to be, servants, just like today's gospel teaches. We are here to serve, not to be served. Vainglory and envy gets much in the way of that because it twists it around. We are not here to be served. We are here to serve. And I do pray, my friends, that you will allow us to continue to serve you for many, many years to come. So please continue to pray for us, because without you, none of that happens. I'll take a break. When I come back, we will go to, we're going to examine our conscience. Get ready for that. Don't go away. There's more to come right here on Come to Me.
"60 Seconds with Mother Angelica."
God created each one of us, but he had in mind, regardless of how we look from childhood to old age, we change physically, but we don't change in his mind. See? Why? Because God has a specific degree of union with him, holiness, we call it, for every one of you. And it's all different. See, we're all different. And we are called to be different because it glorifies God. He just doesn't make robots. Now, why you say, well, why are some holier than others? Well, that's your fault. That's not his fault. If we accept the good, the bad, and indifferent of every day, we'll all be holy in a different way.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN. 60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Man who's free to love is free to hate. He who is free to obey is free to rebel. Virtue in this concrete order is possible only in those spheres in which it is possible to be vicious. A man can be a saint only in a church in which it is possible to be a devil. You say, well, if I were God, I would destroy evil. Well, if you did that, you would destroy human freedom. God will not destroy freedom. If we do not want any dictators on this earth, certainly we do not want any dictators in the kingdom of heaven. And those, therefore, who would blame God for allowing man freedom to go on hindering and thwarting his work are like those who, seeing blots and smudges and errors in the student's notebook, would condemn the teacher for not snatching away the book and doing the copy himself.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weeknights at 5.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
My family left the church because of a very negative experience with a specific priest, and that took my whole family away from going to church for a long period of time. There were other Catholic churches, and there were great Catholic churches and great priests, but we stopped because of that one specific instance. And in a way, I was cheated out of a big part of my journey and my life. Because we weren't in the church. In life, it seems like we're always enslaved to something. And I think that's basically what our culture is all about right now, is we are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. My involvement in the church, my relationship with God, is who I am. It's what gives me my identity. Thank God I'm home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Bishop Robert Barron. Tolkien has reached out to, you know, Nordic culture and literature and Icelandic sagas and all sorts of things. He learned a lot about the good, the true, and the beautiful from his study of pre-Christian cultures. He used narrative forms that were accessible to the culture. He adapted that to evangelical purposes. So that shows you that flexibility. It shows you a certain creativity in the evangelical art. He did not proselytize. Rather, he very delicately and indirectly and cleverly evangelized through the imagination, so that someone taking in these great stories of Tolkien or his friend C.S. Lewis, they're going to say, oh yeah, I get that. I recognize that pattern. So that finally when they hear the gospel, they'll say, yeah, I understand that. I learned that from The Lord of the Rings. I learned that pattern from the Narnia stories. And that was the genius of those fellows.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back on this February 28th, but not the last day of February 2024. It is leap year. One more day to go in February tomorrow, February 29th. Then, of course, Friday, March 1st, first Friday. And good news, Bishop O'Connell will be back with the Shepherd's Voice right here at 3 p.m. on Friday. So I do hope that you will tune in for that. It'll be good to hear the Bishop's voice and hear all he has to tell us and share with us. You know, back in January when he was in Rome, he actually met the Holy Father twice. So I want to hear about those meetings. And he himself had a little bit of an incident. We'll hear about that, I'm sure, as well. But recovering well and well enough to be here Friday, 3 o'clock, the Shepherd's Voice. And of course, Cheryl and I will be here at 4 o'clock with Friday Live. Anthony DiStefano and Father Stephen Imbarata will be our guests. And then at 6 o'clock, Bill Maher, Jez Ford with Brothers in Arms, brand new edition, and they have a special guest joining them. I don't know who it is, but they said it's going to be a special guest that everybody knows. So 6 o'clock for that program. You know, we're coming up to, we're now in March, of course, and we're starting Friday, March 1st, and the last day of March. Is Easter the 30th or 31st? I got to check my calendar, but it is in March. You know, Ash Wednesday was very early this year. Easter Sunday is March 31st. So we have 31 days to continue our Lenten journey. And then Easter week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are going to have our spring radiothon. And we're hoping to raise enough money in that radiothon to take us through the summer. So I ask you, please, my friends, to pray, in my own personal prayer, I ask the Lord Jesus, I wish there was somebody out there who would make a very special endowment gift upon which we could draw as needed. We don't have that, though. The Lord, for over 20 years now, has asked us to survive the way we do. You know, some things are changing. The economy is not good. We've had people who have had to pull back on their donations, unfortunately. Our December Radiothon was very, very successful. People very generous. And we just have to do this. It's not my favorite thing to do, but we have to do it. We have to make our needs known. That's my responsibility as steward over the apostolate, to make our needs known. It's the only way we can, as I mentioned, we're not commercial. We can't sell advertising time. And we did bring on a director of stewardship back in November. Drew Craven, who is our new director of stewardship fundraising, because we have to. Otherwise, we're not here. That's really what it comes down to. If we can't raise what we need each month, we have to literally go off the air because we can't pay for what we do. So please pray about that. And if you know anybody, maybe someone's listening. Maybe there's some. You know, maybe this is why the Holy Spirit's placing it on my heart right now. We might have someone listening right now who has enormous capacity, and you're getting up in years, and you're asking the Lord, what should I do with this money you've blessed me with? You know, when you donate to Domestic Church Media, our apostolate here, you allow us to bring the gospel of Jesus to literally millions of souls every single day. You never know who's being touched. You never know how it's affecting them. But I did have a wonderful priest many years ago tell me as we began our work, said, Jim, you'll never know until you get to heaven just how many people were affected by your work. And so that goes for you as well. We're in this together. It's not about me, as I said earlier. It's about, you know, it's about serving God. And I can serve God this way, using the gifts he's given me. And there are many of you who can serve God other ways, using the gifts he's given you. So pray about that. Easter, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, our spring radiothon. Bruce will be here, Cheryl will be here, and we'll just come to you again and just ask you, please, whatever you can afford, whatever you can do to help us out. And, you know, we were watching some program the other night on PBS, Public Broadcasting, and it seems like they have these fundraisers every other week. We don't. But we have to have a spring radiothon. We just have to. We had to have the one in December to take us into the spring. We have to have one in the spring to take us into the fall. That's just the way we operate right now. So please pray about it, because what you do, as I'll share exactly what the good priest said to me, you'll never know, my friend. You will never know in this life. You'll never know until you get to heaven exactly what your sacrifice did for souls that are there. I believe that with all my heart. Examination of conscience. Well, we should be examining our conscience every day if you're praying night prayer. I hope so. I just found this in Faustina's diary from February of 1935, a particular interior practice she had. Examination of conscience, self-denial, denial of my own will. And this is what Faustina said. The denial of my reason, subjecting it to the reason of those who represent God to me here on earth. Denial of my will, doing the will of God, which is revealed in the will of those who represent God to me, and which is contained in the rule of our order. Denial of judgment, accepting immediately and without reflection, analysis, or reasoning all orders given me by those who represent God to me. Denial of my tongue. I will not give it the least bit of freedom, but in one case only I will give it complete freedom, that is, in proclaiming the glory of God. Whenever I receive Holy Communion, I will ask Jesus to fortify and cleanse my tongue that I may not injure my neighbor with it. That is why I have the greatest respect for the rule, for this rule, which speaks about silence. And then she wrote, "My Jesus, I trust that your grace will help me to carry out these resolutions. Although the above points are contained in the vow of obedience, I want to practice these things in a special way because this is the essence of the religious life, merciful Jesus. I beg you fervently to enlighten my mind so that I may come to know you better, you who are the infinite being, and that I may get to know myself better, who am nothingness itself." And then she wrote, "Concerning holy confession, we should derive two kinds of profit from holy confession. We come to confession to be healed. We come to be educated. Like a small child, our soul has constant need of education. Oh, my Jesus, I understand these words to their very depth, and I know from my own experience that on its own strength, the soul will not go far. It will exert itself greatly and will do nothing for the glory of God. It will err continually because our mind is darkened and does not know how to discern its own affairs. I shall pay special attention to two things. Firstly, I will choose in making my confession that which humiliates me most, even if it be a trifle, but something that costs me much, and for that reason, I will tell it. Secondly, I will practice contrition, not only during confession, but during every self-examination. And I will arouse within myself an act of perfect contrition, especially when I am going to bed. One more word, a soul which sincerely wants to advance in perfection must observe strictly the advice given by the spiritual director. There is much holiness as there is dependence. You know, that's a great point to make, especially regarding a spiritual director. You know, we really should have someone helping us. You know, having a good spiritual director is very, very important. But that was Faustina. And on a more remedial level, for us, there's an examination of conscience I'd like to go over with you. We'll get through it all today. But we're in these last few number of weeks of Lent. You know, hopefully you'll get to confession if you haven't been already. And a prelude to a good confession is a good examination. So let's go over some of these things. And usually the best way to do it is to just go down the Ten Commandments. You know, the Lord gave us these wonderful commandments. And there are, if you Google, and I Googled Catholic examination of conscience, and a number of them came up. This is from the National Catholic Register. Commandment number one, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Okay, so what's an examine of that particular commandment? Do I give God time every day in prayer? You know, or do I neglect my prayer life? Do I set aside time and give God time to pray? Do I seek to love him with my whole heart? God should be constantly on our heart, in our mind, aware that it is only because he is and he loves us and he's with us constantly. He never leaves us. So do I give him that love that he so deserves with my whole heart? And then it gets into some of these other situations. Have I been involved with superstitious practices or have I been involved with the occult? You know, when I was growing up back in the 60s, late 60s, remember when all that stuff came out, the dawning of Aquarius and all that stuff? People were, you know, really involved in astrology and astrological signs and what sign are you and all these qualities you have because you were born between the particular dates. Silly stuff. That 1/12th of the world's population is all in the same. You know, 12. There are 12 astrological signs. And people started getting hung up. Stay away from that stuff. Read your horoscopes. Nonsense. Another, of course, more severe and serious occult actions, voodoo and hexes and vexes and tarot cards and all that kind of stuff. You got to stay away from that. That's an offense against the First Commandment. Do I seek to surrender myself to God's word as taught by the church? You know, it was the church fathers who compiled the Bible as we know it. And we have to always interpret Scripture through the mind of the church, not other ways. And so, and do I seek to surrender myself to God's word as taught by our church? Now, this is an interesting one under the First Commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Have I ever received communion in the state of mortal sin? That is a sacrilege. That is a sacrilege. And if we are aware of being in the state of mortal sin, we must not receive Holy Communion until we go to sacramental confession. Now, again, let's get back to the Baltimore Catechism, the three conditions of mortal sin. The offense must be grave. What you are doing must be grave. You must be aware that it's gravely offensive to God. And then you must willfully do it. All three of those conditions must be met. Sadly, today, you know, let's use intentionally missing Mass as an example. Intentionally missing Mass is for no good reason. You know, if you're sick or you're, you know, unable to get there, or you're caring for an elderly parent or a loved one, you just can't get there. Different reasons. But, you know, going to a tailgate party on a Sunday, because instead of going to Mass, intentionally missing Mass, that's a grave offense. Sadly, today, a lot of people don't even know that it's gravely offensive anymore. They bought into that silliness that, oh, that's no longer a sin attitude. So if they don't go to Mass on Sunday and they're not aware that that's an offense against God, that condition's not met. So, but we have responsibility for fraternal correction too, you know. Missing Mass intentionally is a mortal sin. Anyway, that's one example, but there's so many other possibilities of grave sin, you know. And if you're aware of that, you must not receive communion. That's a mortal sin on top of a mortal sin. If you're aware of being in mortal sin and you receive communion, that's a mortal sin on top of a mortal sin. Have I ever deliberately told a lie in confession? Or have I withheld a mortal sin from the priest in confession? This is an offense against the first commandment. I don't know why you'd go to confession if you're going to tell a lie, but people get a little intimidated, maybe a little afraid, kind of fudge the truth. Don't do that. I once had a dear priest friend who's passed away many years ago, and in one of his homilies, teaching about confession, he said, "Don't ever be afraid to confess even the most horrible sin. I've heard everything." This particular priest was a chaplain in the army in the Second World War. He said, "I've heard it all." So don't be afraid. Also, I believe priests have that wonderful gift of holy amnesia. You know, so to intentionally lie or intentionally withhold a mortal sin is silly. You're there to do that. You're there to confess that. That's why you're there in the first place. To be absolved of those mortal sins. I one time went to confession to a priest and had gone face to face. And so made my confession best I could, absolved. A couple weeks later, the priest came here for a reason, to one of something for us. And we were chatting, and I said, I remember I was talking about that when I saw you a couple weeks ago. And he said, "When did you see me a couple weeks ago?" I said, "I came to confession." "You did?" So he was completely out of his mind. It was out of his mind, not he was out of his mind. So don't be afraid to do that. Are there other gods in my life? Money, security, power, people, etc. Again, those false gods that the world will try to convince us to worship. Offense against the first commandment. Second commandment, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, again, first one, have I ever used God's name in vain, lightly or carelessly? How many times on television do you hear people say, "Oh my God"? They're not praying, they're not worshiping, they're not giving him glory. They're really using it in vain. And worse than that, when they use the Lord's name in vain, you know, it just, that is an offense against the second commandment. Must be confessed. Have I been angry with God? Well, you know, this is something that sometimes we find ourselves questioning. Lord, why is this happening? But getting angry with him to the... Now, I remember one time, I've told you this story. Mother had that wonderful story where she had a bad day, beginning of her, you know, in her work at the network, and she was in the chapel sitting in adoration, and one of the other sisters came in, and she looked Mother had this scowl on her face, and sister said, "Mother, is everything okay?" "I'm not speaking to the Lord today," she said, or something to that effect. She wasn't angry with him, but she was, you know, obviously, just like you would with a spouse, I guess, you get into. But to actually be angry enough at God is a very serious thing to be careful of. Have I ever wished evil upon any other person? Well, we just talked about that with Holy Father's teaching on envy. know, envy is really desiring. So you're so envious of that individual, you want something evil to happen to them. Don't do that, whether it be out of envy or any other reason. Don't wish evil upon anybody. If you ever feel the need to wish evil, stop yourself and just pray for that person. Pray for that person. You know, we talk about forgiveness, a great way to enter into a state of forgiveness. You know, you have someone who has hurt you. Let's face it, we've all been there. We've all been the recipient of someone else's bad behavior, no matter what that was, whether it's gossip or calumny or detraction or just other things they do to us. And instead of wishing evil upon that person or vengeance, pray for them. And that will ease that sense of desire for evil for them. It will begin to soften up that hardened heart that you may have and make it a heart of flesh. Have I insulted a sacred person or abused a sacred object? You know, I talked about this a couple weeks ago when it comes to the Holy Father, bishop, pastor, deacon, man or woman religious you have an issue with. You know, you can disagree with someone. You can say, I don't, you know, particularly like that, but you're the pastor, you're the bishop, you're the pope. But to insult them and to incite anger against them or incite disobedience, that's an offense against the second commandment. Have I abused a sacred object? Well, you know, we've seen the horrible things that Satanists will do and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. They use our sacred objects and abuse them. So we mustn't do that. We must show reverence. These are sacramentals, you know, whether it be a crucifix or a rosary or a Bible, these beautiful sacred objects that we revere. You know, we don't worship statues, but they do remind us of the one who they represent. And so we must always treat them with respect. So both sacred individuals or people who are in that type of position or sacred objects, my friends. Be very, very careful. All right, I see my time is almost up here, so we'll stop there. We'll pick it up again with the third commandment and examination again, but I got to go. So stay tuned for Teresa Tomeo, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday, Catechism Day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God love you.